Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, June 26, 2017. With me today, I have Jeff Butts. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Glad you're here. And Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I am stellar. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. And I'm glad you are here as well. I'm also glad all of our listeners are here. And we might as well just jump right into it. The first thing I wanted to take a look at today is this news that Google is changing their policy about scanning Gmail for ad content. Meaning, you know, the personalized ads that we end up seeing because they can scan our email. And the gist of it is they're not going to be feeding us ads based on the content of our email anymore. They're going to make the change later this year, but they've announced that it's coming. And I'm curious, what do you guys think about this?
Well, I mean, there's two things that are good about this. And we should point out that anybody that was on a paid Google Apps for Domains account did not see these ads. But there was some lack of clarity on Google's part in communicating that to people. So that I think that was part of what drove them to this. But the other part is that thanks to companies like Apple, frankly, for making the conversation about security and privacy, Google finally moved into this realm where people, you know, started to care about their email being scanned. And so not only do the ads will remain for people that have ads, but they not only will the ads not be personalized, Google has actually said they won't be scanning your email, because it's not just the ads next to your email that were the result of that scan. That scan helps Google build a profile about you. And so they say that that's going away. And at this point, we might as well take that at face value until proven otherwise. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they'll prove it otherwise. I think face value is fine on this. Yeah.
I think some people will doubt it.
Oh, of course. You might have one right here. But I mean, I don't doubt it. I think it would be really, really bad for them.
It would be very dumb for them to say, we're not going to scan your email, and then have it come out that, oh, oops, yeah, we really were.
Right, yeah.
So what does this do for Google's spam filtering? Are they still scanning our email for spam?
I think, go ahead, Jeff. Yeah.
Yeah, they will be. And I think most people want them to scan our email for spam. And that's something that you can turn off, if I remember correctly.
Kind of. Not easily. You can tell it not to do anything. And it's not even easy to do this, but it is possible to tell it to pass through anything that it considers spam. But I don't think that means that it stops scanning your mail for spam.
Okay.
Because there's so many things that are involved in it. Spam these days is not this binary thing, right? It's a series of hundreds, if not thousands, of individual markers that, you know, you heuristically pull together this definition of, yes, this is probably spam. And some of that is, what server did it come from, and what other mail also came from that server? Mm-hmm. And of the other mail that came from that server, what did the subject lines look like? Were they all the same? Right. I mean, there's a lot of this stuff. So there is this sort of, you know, bigger picture, big brother, if you want, looking at everything coming into Google in a non-personally identifiable way anymore, that it's still going to happen for spam filtering. And it's really it's one of the best ways to do spam filtering. You know, doing it on a account by account basis misses out on a lot of that. So,
All right. So then would it be reasonable or accurate to say that with the change, Google will still scan the contents of our Gmail accounts, but they're not going to exploit that content for advertising purposes anymore?
Right.
So,
And what I think is important to note is that any email provider reads the contents of your email when they come in. That's how SMTP works. That's how the mail transport works, is it gets logged.
Right.
The question is, what do they do with those logs?
Right. Yeah. All email is, what's the right way to say this? All email is sent unencrypted. I don't want to say that it's sent in the clear.
Right.
But because most email is actually delivered over SSL connections. So somebody sniffing the connection couldn't see the contents of it. But
right.
Unless you're encrypting your mail on your computer and then sending it out, it is clear to every mail server that it hops through. And you can look if you know, in Apple Mail, if you go to the, I think it's the, is it the message menu? No, it's the view menu, right? I always do it with the keystrokes. But if you go to view, message, raw source, or even all headers, which is not quite raw source, you get to see every hop that your email took from the sender to you, the recipient. And every hop logs their own little thing and says, yep, I was here. This is my deal. And I passed this email across, and it might have some details about it. And those hops could all read your email and might read your email. So that's still happening.
Yeah.
All right. So, Dave, you started going down a path that I was interested in discussing with all of this, which is encryption and also digital signatures for emails. So first we'll start with the encryption side. So if we want to make sure that no one, not even Google, is reading the contents of our email, then we should be encrypting it. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'll let Jeff speak to that because he's been Mr. Email Encryption lately.
Yeah, it's absolutely correct. The problem is, if you are using the Gmail interface from Google's website, encrypting your email requires an extra step, and most people aren't going to take that. Now, if you're using a mail client, like I've written about how to turn on digital signing and email encryption on macOS Mail, I've torn apart how to do it on iOS Mail, then it's all seamless. But you still have to make sure that the person you're sending the email to has a copy of your private key so they can decrypt the email. But if you do that, then when the mail server receives your email, all it sees is to, from, subject, and then the rest is all encrypted.
Yeah, so if you were to look at it, it would look like essentially just a bunch of random characters dumped on a page.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming, and if I'm wrong, please correct me, that once you've taken the step of encrypting your email, now you've kind of killed the ability of Google to scan that email to see if it's spam.
Not entirely.
Okay.
Because there's still your subject line.
Okay, so they can still look at header information even though the rest of the message is encrypted?
Right.
Right. Okay. Okay. So then that brings me to my next question about this. If you're doing digital signatures with your email, what does that add any value to your message since it's would otherwise be going unencrypted and bouncing through a lot of servers?
Your digital signature, all that does is it signs it and allows the person on the other end to get a copy of your public key.
Okay.
So the only real benefit to signing it is assuming you've got a certificate from a trusted CA or you're using a PGP key. CA is Certificate Authority.
Oh, okay.
That's for SMIME. Or you're using PGP and you're using a reliable, trusted web of trust, which is what PGP depends upon. Then what you're doing is you're saying, yes, this really came from me. And it's not from somebody pretending to be me. So there's some benefit there.
Okay. Okay. And for some people, the biggest benefit will be that once you start digitally signing your email, they automatically get your public key. So if you want to now share encrypted email back and forth, you have a way to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like Dave and I have exchanged our keys, so we can send encrypted mail to each other.
Right.
You and I don't believe we've done that yet, so we can't send encrypted mail to each other yet.
I thought we had, but maybe we did. Going to double check after the show, and if we haven't, we're going to fix that post.
Yes, absolutely.
But the Gmail web interface doesn't, in and of itself, allow you to send or receive encrypted mail. I mean, you can receive encrypted mail, but it will just be in the form of an attachment. Yeah, you'll have to download that attachment and process it with something like GPG Tools for Mac or some S/MIME thing. And I know Mail app will process S/MIME. I don't know of anything that will do that separately, but in any event. There you go.
All right. So if you're going to be working just inside Google's Gmail interface in the web browser, then you're pretty limited in what you can do. If you use a separate mail client application, then you have more flexibility in whether or not you encrypt your email. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. And either way, later this year, Google will be done scanning our email for advertising purposes. And my feeling is, look, if they've said that this is what they're going to do, why not just do it now? But maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I think there's a little more to it than that.
There's probably contractual obligations that they have to address.
Yep. Yeah.
Nonetheless, it's not going to stop me from saying, well, just do it now.
Yeah.
All right. So the other thing that I want to talk about today is augmented reality. And specifically, what brought this up for me was that Nike or Nike, depending on what part of the United States you're in, the shoe company, is doing this new promotion with the sneakers app for the iPhone, where they're using augmented reality to promote their new shoe products. And so these are called shoe drops. And for those of you that aren't in the know, a shoe drop is a huge thing. It's like the opening of a big blockbuster movie. It's the same thing, but for shoes. And that's big business. So what they're doing now is they are teaming up with sneakers, and they've done this thing where you go to what's the restaurant? Fuku?
Fuku, yeah.
And if you point your iPhone with the sneakers app at the menu, it pops up whatever shoe the promotion currently is. So you suddenly have the shoe on your menu. And now you have a way to get at and purchase the latest shoe when it's first released or dropped. And so that's their new thing for promoting footwear. And I'm assuming that both of you are like totally into shoes and you've already done this.
No.
I prefer not to wear shoes as often as possible, Jeff.
I am so with you, Dave.
I wear shoes all the time. But I saw this and I looked at it. And as soon as I saw that the only way you could unlock these shoes was by going to that particular restaurant in that particular city, I immediately said, oh, man, I don't care.
Well, the other way you can do it is by pointing at the menu, which is also available online.
Okay. So there's another way.
Yeah.
It's still an, oh, man, I don't care. I'm not the target audience for this, though. I buy a pair of shoes and I wear it until it falls apart.
Yeah, you are so not the target audience for this.
No.
All right. Well, then let me try and explain to you why I think this is actually a really big thing. So this market for shoe drops is a huge thing. And there are people that actually collect these shoes when they come out. They may never even wear them, but they need to have them in their collection. And so there are different ways that you can get at the shoes, which is, you know, you like show up at a specific store on a specific day, you know, that would be the launch day. You are watching the website so that, like in this case, the Nike site, so you can order them as soon as they're available. Mm-hmm. And then there are other ways, like through the sneakers app. And so I look at what they're doing with this and the fact that augmented reality is this thing that their target audience is more likely to be interested in. And I see this as a way to hype up the interest in that new shoe as if it couldn't be higher already, and then make it more of an exclusive thing for right. those people that want to get in first.
Yeah, so, it's huge for people who collect shoes, especially if they collect limited edition shoes.
Yeah.
My question is, from what you have read on this, does it just show you the shoes in place, or can you actually have it show you those shoes on your feet?
Right now, it shows them in place. So when I okay. when I played with it, with the app, no, I didn't buy these shoes because, Dave, I'm with you. There are certain parts of my body that should just be naked as often as possible. And I'm not going to elaborate on that. In this case, what happened was I brought up the menu on my display on my Mac, and mm-hmm. then I pointed my iPhone at the menu, and the shoe popped up right there. So I could move my phone around different angles. I could see the shoe at different angles because of that, but I couldn't see it on my feet. But the question you're asking has me thinking, once iOS 11 ships, or if we're mm-hmm. sticking with our shoe lingo, once iOS 11 drops, then I could see where sneakers, Nike, other companies could take advantage of the more powerful AR technology and AR kit, yep. and then put those shoes on your feet.
Yeah, call me crazy, but the idea of anything related to feet or shoes being on top of anything related to the food I'm going to eat just immediately turns me off.
No, I can see that. Dave, you've been uncharacteristically quiet.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt, but yeah, I can totally see where this is valuable. I mean, even for somebody like me who doesn't prefer to wear shoes, there are times when I must, and times when I actually do prefer to, like when I'm out and walking on sidewalks and things where, you know, that would hurt your feet. And so you do have to think about, okay, what are these things going to look like? And I think that's pretty cool. Yeah. And, you know, for my kids who are obsessed with, you know, all the different shoes and stuff, I can totally see this. I think it's smart. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's smart. And I think starting now with this is really smart because people will be well aware of what Nike's doing with the sneakers app. Mm-hmm. By the time AR kit rolls around, and my expectation is that we're going to see stuff that's a lot cooler than having a tennis shoe or a basketball shoe or whatever kind of shoe it is appear on top of a menu on your computer screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when I'll get interested, when I can put on a pair of jeans that I plan on wearing for some purpose and see how the shoes will look with those pants. That's when I'll get interested.
Yeah.
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 Well, my guess is you only have a few more months to wait.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a cool Twitter account to check out called, and it's very simple. It's just @MadeWithARKit on Twitter. And they are posting some very cool things that either they or maybe others are making with ARKit, and so much of it is so cool. Like the one that really sort of piqued my interest in this account was they built a ruler with ARKit, right? Mm-hmm. That matches perfectly with, you know, a ruler that's there, and it's just happening with the camera on an iPhone, and they just, you know, can draw and it'll tell you the distance and all of this stuff. And I've always felt like this should be possible with an iPhone because it's got the gyroscope and everything else inside it. There's no reason. The phone knows exactly where it is in space. It knows what kind of camera it has. It should be able to do this. But the apps that had been written for that purpose were never quite perfect. And now that you've got essentially Apple writing, doing the heavy lifting on those apps with ARKit, and then you just need to, you know, basically tie into it and say, okay, give me this data, as opposed to give me the inputs and I'll figure out the data. Like, that's a lot of work. And that's why ARKit exists, because Apple now can do the heavy lifting. And you just say, great, give me this stuff and I'll do fun, cool stuff with it. And boom, it's perfect. So that's where this gets really exciting to me.
How far out can it go?
What do you mean?
Like, what's the maximum distance you could get a tape measure or some kind of distance reading for?
I don't know that there's a max. That's a good question, right? Yeah, I bet there is a limit to what ARKit will kind of keep in its brain at any one time. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know the answer.
Because I could see applications for this in surveying, in archery, in shooting.
Yeah, very easy.
If this could replace my rangefinder, it maybe not when I'm out in the woods, but when I'm at the archery range, if this could replace my rangefinder, you know, that's one less piece of equipment I have to carry with me when I go out to do my practice shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so now I'm even more excited about where ARKit is going to take us. And Dave, while you were talking, I'm now following Made with ARKit on Twitter.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really cool. It's cool. Yeah.
Good. I'm not yet because Jeff yells at me when I type while we're recording.
Right. That's right.
I am a horrible, horrible person. I know. Hey, we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Always great. And Jeff, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having me. Always love it.
Me too. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We will see everyone again tomorrow.